what's pentakaidekatha? That's got to be 15th?
Yeah.
In the 15th year of the what? The reign of Tiberius Caesar. Pontius Pilate being hegemon of Judea, right? Mm-hmm. And who we got? Philip, Tetrarch of Galilee. Oh, and Herod. Herod, the Tetrarch of Galilee. Philip, his brother, Tetrarch of
Iturea
and Troxonitis. Where's that? And the region of... Lysanias. Lysanias
of Abilene.
Tetrarch of Abilene. It's in Kansas. Isn't that right, Mars? Yeah. In the high priestship, right? Yeah. Or Annas and Caiaphas. The word of God came, was. This is Vahi, Devarya, He, El, or Lamed. The word of Yahweh was, or God, was to John, thus, of Zechariah's son, in the wilderness. I mean, now we're into this Isaiah 40 problem, the voice crying in the wilderness. Where are we? 3? And what? He came into all the region round about of Judea, proclaiming, kerusain, baptisma of repentance into the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book, saying in the book.
Book of the words of Isaiah.
Oh, the book, good. The book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet. A voice crying in the wilderness. A voice crying in the wilderness. I mean, you know this problem of the movable comma. In Isaiah, it's a voice is crying in the wilderness prayer of the way, Lord. A voice, now the voice is in the wilderness. He's not saying. I always answer that. That's John the Baptist is the caboose on the prophetic train. All the way. If Isaiah 40 is addressed to sort of all the prophets, it's plural, remember. So he's sort of the last of all those to whom Isaiah 40, and it just turns out that he actually did what Isaiah 40 said. He went into the wilderness and prepared the way of the Lord, and now it turns out he's the voice in the wilderness. A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh. I've often wondered, Bill, what would happen if you translate all the curiouses as Yahweh?
When you get Old Testament guys, it's, you know...
I know. And you can really make something out of those stupid Greeks today. And what makes straight the... what his... path, right?
Yeah. Valley will be filled in?
Will be filled in, good. Every valley will be filled in, and all the...
Mountain
and hill... will be leveled out.
And the twisted will be to straightness.
Into straightness, right? And we just happen to know this, right? And the rough place is blank. No, and the into straight roads, something like that, right? And all flesh will see the salvation of God. Not the kavod,
right?
Not the glory, but salvation here. That's interesting. I'll keep going. I'm going to see what Matthew and Mark have.
Okay. Now I get the tough part.
That was easy.
Let's see. What, then he began to say to the crowds?
To the coming out crowds.
Yeah, crowds came out to be baptized by him.
Is this brood of vipers?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good.
Oh, what Robert Herbert said in a homily, oh, you snakes in the grass.
Snakes in the grass.
Yeah. Was it, who warned you to flee from the about-to-be wrath? do therefore fruit worthy oxeus of repentance, and let's see, do not what sort of presume to say in yourselves, we have our father, we have Abraham.
Right.
For I say to you that do not tie off to us. God is able from these stones to raise children to Abraham. Already now, the axe to the root of the tree is laid, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every tree then that does not do good fruit.
Do good fruit.
Will be cut down and cast into fire.
Sure, right. Is that it?
No, we have five more verses.
Oh, okay.
It's the Epheron. Something like the crowds approach him, saying, what then shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
And answering, he
said to them,
the one who has two...
tunics, right?
Yeah. Let him give away to...
So,
one who has none, and the one who has...
To the one not having.
Not having.
Yeah, that's good, right?
One who has bromata.
What's that's food?
Food, okay.
Likewise, let him do.
Okay. Ale funda.
And came also...
To be baptized.
To be baptized.
Tax collector, Talon.
Oh, right, we skipped that, right. Came to him also tax collectors to be baptized. But
teacher,
he said,
what,
and they said to him, right, teacher?
Teacher, what shall I do? He said to them,
take nothing.
Nothing besides the what is
what owed due to you?
Due to you,
appropriate. Is that it? I don't know the actual meaning.
Command, but then the ESV translates to collect. Command to.
Collect no more than what is your...
What is your due,
Collect.
That's just simple imperative, right?
Yeah.
Present, collect...
Okay, and then
nothing more than what is commanded to you or due to you.
And then verse 14, isn't that also, that's now, this is the stratum homenoi. They are the...
They asked him, those are the soldiers. Are those the soldiers? Stratoil?
Yeah. What also shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them,
Extort.
Anything,
right?
Or accuse falsely.
Okay. What those who
the also
neois? What's that? Those who.
Compensation or salvation.
what are in your employ, sort of under you? Is that it to you, or who are?
With what
is owed to you? Be content with your wages. Yeah, fair enough. Right.
Be satisfied.
All right. With what is your due, or owed to you, or your wages.
So
what's the point?
Well,
what does that have to do with Malachi?
Huh? Well, John is the scene in the mold of the messenger comes to prepare the way for the Lord. It's interesting when you see you read the kinds of things that he's calling on the people, various occupations to do, is not anything more than the Old Testament prophets had instructed in terms of relationships, fairness.
Be honest.
Doing mishpat with tzedakah.
Yeah, that's good.
I think there the thing is that it is recognizing the imminence of the Lord's appearance also. That he's there to prepare, he is the voice preparing way, calling people to repentance in anticipation that the one who is Lord of all is to come. And calling people to be baptized into that repentance for forgiveness.
So preparing the way of the Lord is essentially a call to repentance and recognizing the need to do mishpat and tzedakah. Mm-hmm. In whatever, I mean, it's kind of a Lutheran vocational thing here too. Kind of wherever you are, soldier or tax collector, do your job with mishpat and tzedakah. Two other observations that just struck me. One is, of course, that whole first paragraph, which is kind of typical Luke to lay this thing out in historical detail. Right, that John comes in real time. This isn't the world of myth, it's the world of history. And Luke is a great pains to point that out, and with all these gory details. I don't know, it's kind of interesting. I was looking up the last line of the Isaiah 40 quote, and all flesh will see the salvation of God, that in the other synoptics, they don't even get to that line. It's just prepare the way of the Lord's stuff. But, it's interesting how the lectionary, at least, has now combined the Malachi business with John the Baptist, who is fulfilling the Isaiah prophecy, right? Doesn't say anything about Malachi here. But in Mark, remember, Mark starts out with this stuff about as it is written of Isaiah, Jesus Christ, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I send my messenger before me. Which isn't in Isaiah, it's in Malachi. In a sense, it's kind of clear that those prophetic eschatological understandings were all just sort of put in a bucket. And, what you have at the beginning of Mark is clear an example of that, where they simply conflated the Malachi 3 and the Isaiah 40 texts. Now, even though critics are always say, well, Mark's so stupid, he didn't know Malachi from Isaiah. When in fact it simply shows kind of the way they were treating the prophets as a prophetic corpus, and whether this prophet said it or that prophet said it was all about the stuff that's happening now.
I think it's also interesting that that phrase about the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet.
Because that
actually strikes me as being something that says that it's faithful to what Isaiah said, and certainly includes in many of his own words, but that doesn't make a big to-do about an Isaianic authorship as such. And the whole thing of what the conventional use of titles of books and stuff like that.
I never thought about this that in this way before, how the Gospels are ready to quote the prophets at all.
Mm-hmm.
how much inter-prophetic quoting is there within the Old Testament? You know, there isn't any. It's rare, right? And then what does Jeremiah do? He quotes Micah instead of Isaiah. That's this, you know, this whole controversy of whether Isaiah was even written because Jeremiah quotes Micah. But that kind of almost stands out as a rare example of where the prophets actually kind of build on their own citations. And suddenly you get to the New Testament and they're grounding everything in as it is written kind of stuff. I don't know, I've never really thought about that as something that seems to be changing in how they're viewing what's going on with John the Baptist now and Jesus. I don't know if intertestamental stuff quotes the prophets at all. I'm pondering this question.
There's always more to study.
But I guess the point I'm making is assuming that it's very striking, and it would make sense in sort of the self-understanding of the early church and the disciples and the gospel writers that what they are seeing unfolding here in John the Baptist and Jesus is really significant. I mean, this is kind of what all the prophets were talking about. So it's time to start connecting the dots, people, and let's be drawing these lines from what's going on and what the prophets are talking about. And it's not simply saying, now we can tick off that God can predict the future. Prophecy isn't really about that as much as it is understanding God's plan that is actually playing out before our very eyes, and all this hope for get it right and do mishpat and tzedakah now, in fact, is finally going to become possible because God's going to come and fix it, so to speak, with the Messianic age. Advent preaching is always this rich texture, right, of moving beyond just talking about Christmas coming and understanding how God in Christ has fulfilled his eschatological plan for all creation. And in many ways, Advent is more about the second coming than the first, because the first coming is really about the second coming. Does that make sense? What do you want to say?
I'm just, yeah.